Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have
Here
to.
We go.
Here's John Williams.
I don't know how to say that in Spanish. Hey, how are you? This is John Williams. We are in Mexico. You are in the Chicago area. We're going to have a great show together. Oh, my. Stand by. I'll kill you for the applause. Not yet. Not yet. Wait a minute. Okay, put it together. That kind of enthusiasm generated by six people sitting in front of us. More than that. Hey, this is John Williams, and welcome to Socks on the Beach. It's Socks on the Beach Day 2. We're broadcasting live from Iberostar. Oh, shoot, you gave me the phonetic this time, like I'm going to get it right on the fly. Parizo Lindo in Riviera Maya. It's Socks on the Beach with Apple Vacations and the Chicago White Sox. We're in our giant sort of thatched hut of an area, which if you could describe a small building as a thatched hut, that's where we are. But it overlooks then a giant sort of cement pool concourse area. There's some green plants in front of that. And then in front of that is another one of these undulating giant swimming pool areas. They got a basketball hoop over there. People are shooting shots in the water. In the middle of the pool I'm looking in front of, there's a sort of an island, and they have another thatched hut there, and there's a waterfall, and water's coming out on the side, and then you can walk over to the other side of the pool area, and it stretches that way all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. It's sunny here. It's mid-70s. We had a light breeze this morning. We still do now. It's positively lovely here at Riviera Maya, Mexico. So what else is going on the show today? Well, some of the White Sox are going to be joining us. We'll talk to who's going to join us today? I had the names written
Darryl
down.
Boston, Darryl Boston. Said,
yeah. Hold on, Steve. Tim Anderson. Tim's going to join us. They were part of the two of them plus the other three White Sox that are here were part of a sort of meet and greet that we had last night. We all had our dinner wherever, and then from 8 to 10 o'clock, the guys sort of did like the Sox convention where they sit at a long table and everybody piles into a room, and we got to ask questions. We had a really fun time. The gang got their autographs signed, and then we all sort of went about our way, and which included just hanging out with the guys, having a drink, and talking some more. Steve, I just want to crow a tiny bit more and make one addition to Time Magazine's 2018 Person of the Year.
Okay.
It's four journalists in a newspaper. They called them in Time the Guardians, the people that are guarding the truth. And it includes the Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, the Capital Gazette staff in Annapolis, where five people were killed, some Reuters journalists, and a Philippine journalist, people who have risked their lives or lost their lives in the name of telling the truth. I think it should be all journalists. Not to take anything away from the sacrifices these people made, because it is ultimate. But I think what is just as important is the people who are alive in Chicago and Washington and New York and Brazil, wherever they are, who are, you know, fighting all of the forces the journalists fight these days, like market competition, like each other, and like politicians who want to sort of run them down. I don't think the role of journalism has ever been more important. So I was only half right. I didn't say journalists who lost their lives. I said journalists, and I still think I'm right about that, but I'll be happy to be wrong about it in the name of these people, because they paid the ultimate price.
Yeah, well, I think they can represent more than themselves, too.
And sure.
You know, they
fair
can stand
enough.
For a lot more. Or you can create your own magazine, run it for several decades, then move to an online publication and create your own Person of the Year.
And then it will be me. And then next year it'll be Violetta, and then you and Elif. We'll all take turns. It'll be awesome. His death laid bare the true nature of a smiling prince. They're talking about the Washington Post reporter, Jamal Khashoggi. His death laid bare the true nature of a smiling prince, the utter absence of morality in the Saudi-U.S. alliance. Every time I see a picture of that Saudi prince now, he's usually got a great big smile on, and it just looks that much more evil and creepy to think that guy who is smiling and shaking hands at the summit with with Vladimir Putin, for crying out loud. You think he would. He would, because he didn't like you. Have you killed and dismembered and shipped away in a box? That guy, that big, every time I see the smile, I think of that. How can you not? There's a lot of coverage today. You heard Steve do it about the meeting between the president, Nancy and Chuck, as he likes to call them, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. This is an interesting story. And to be honest with you, I liked a lot of what I saw and heard in the video clips. And I've read the story, too. And everybody's writing this as though it was crazy and it was sparks were flying. I would hope they were. Here's what the president did. Rather than Nancy Pelosi wanted to meet behind closed doors with Chuck Schumer, vice president, the president. And her idea was, let's all continue to hammer out this budget resolution. We don't want to shut down the government. The president wants a border wall. He wants $5 billion for it. Chuck and Nancy are saying, now we could maybe get you 1.6. While the Republicans control the House and Senate, they don't control the Senate enough to be able to force it through. So they need to visit about this. So the president, as he has done before, said, good, let's sit in my office and we'll invite the press in and we'll have it. And Nancy Pelosi goes, well, that's awkward. They hate that kind of thing. I think that kind of thing is awesome. I don't even know if it's all that productive, but don't you wonder what it's like when they're in a room negotiating? Don't you wonder what it sounds like? And you know what it sounds like? It sounds like you and me. There was nothing so nuanced or unknown in that conversation they had for public consumption that you and I haven't been having and saying and doing with our family and friends or former friends.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. When the cameras are there, they're not actually negotiating or working.
I guess it looked a little genuine.
They're all show.
Well, no, it was just a photo op before the actual meeting.
Yeah, but then they cranked it up.
Well, I think that was where things went awry, or where I'm with you, John. I thought it was kind of nice, refreshing to see both sides, people who can make the decisions, actually hashing it out in front of us. I enjoyed that. But they were going to have and they ended up having a closed door meeting on it too.
Fair enough. But don't you think the president's idea was, look, here's what I'll do. I will expose Nancy and Chuck for the weak-kneed liberals that they are. I'll be able to trumpet, we want border security, and they won't have an answer to it, and they'll look bad. And I think they were, while they didn't invite this thing to happen this way, they're like, okay, fine, we'll score our points. Let's see how well you do. I think both of them are saying things for public consumption, thinking the rest of us will judge them to be the victor. And I don't know how you would score that. To me, it was kind of a push. To be honest with you, I thought that, as I said a moment ago, I didn't think it was any more. All of a sudden, I thought, wow, I could be the Speaker of the House. I could be president, for crying out loud, because I know all of these lines.
Okay, now we know the daiquiris did start early.
Oh, that's Steve. Don't laugh at him when he says stuff like that.
I like those people.
The margaritas here are kind of awesome. Okay, so here's a little of Chuck and Nancy, and by the way, the voice you don't hear in the room is Mike Pence.
Oh,
the vice president is sitting there with his hands on his knees. He's sitting with the exact same posture you sat when you were in fifth grade and you got called into the principal's office and might be facing a detention. He's just like, I hope this doesn't go bad.
I want to know what he was thinking.
I think he's thinking, my wife's going to kick my ass again when I get home because I am the vice president to this president. But that's just me. Okay, so here's a little of the audio from that session.
But there are no votes in the House, a majority of votes, for a wall, no matter where you start.
Exactly right. You don't
if I needed the votes for the wall in the House, I would have them in one session,
well,
would be
do
done.
It. Go do it.
It doesn't help because we need 10 Democrats in
no,
the
don't
Senate.
Put it on the Senate. Put it on the negotiation.
Okay, let me ask you this. And we're doing this in a very friendly manner. It doesn't help for me to take a vote in the House where I will win easily with the Republicans.
You will not win.
It doesn't help to take that vote, because I'm not going to get the vote of the Senate. I need 10 senators. That's the problem.
Mr. President, you have the White House. You have the Senate.
I have the White House. The White House is done. And the House would give me the vote if I wanted it. But I can't because I need, Nancy, I need 10 votes from Chuck.
All right, let me say something here.
Let me just say one thing. The fact is, you do not have the votes in the House.
Nancy, I do. And we need border security. Nancy, Nancy. We need border security. It's very simple.
Of course we do.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people. Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm. We need the wall. We need, more important than anything, we need border security, of which the wall is just a piece.
We have a lot of disagreements here. The Washington Post today gave you a whole lot of Pinocchios because they say you constantly misstate how much the wall is built, how much of the wall is built, and how much is there. But that's not the point here. We have a disagreement about the wall,
Washington Post,
whether it's effective or whatever. Not on border security, but on the wall. We do not want to shut down the government. You have called 20 times to shut down the government. You say, I want to shut down the government. We don't. We want to come to an agreement. If we can't come to an agreement, we have solutions that will pass the House and Senate right now and will not shut down the government. And that's what we're urging you to do. Not threaten to shut down the government because you, let me just finish, because you can't get your way.
The last time you shut it down, you
got killed. Yeah, let me say something, Mr. President. You just say my way or we'll shut down the government. We have a proposal that Democrats and Republicans will support to do a CR that will not shut down the government. We urge you to take it.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
It is very good border security.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
And I think the president's listening to that, and he's thinking, I won. I won that, because the last point you heard there, they went on, and then they went into a private session. But the president said, if it's not good border security, I will shut the government down. So if next Friday, you know, parks are closed and people aren't getting paychecks and so on and so forth, the president is going to say it's on the Democrats. The Democrats will say it's on the president. But the president will say it's on the Democrats because they would let terrorists, tens of them. And by the way, you people, that was not supposed to be funny. I'm going to have you removed if you keep laughing every time the president says something like that.
Look, the president thought he won after the midterm elections, too.
Okay, so you scored that, and so, you think that was, I thought it was maybe a push. I mean, there was nothing new there. You understood their positions.
I love the fact, though, that you had someone saying to the president, and, you know, and the president saying back to them, but someone directly saying to them, we haven't heard that, saying, no, you're wrong, you're making this up, you're getting Pinocchios.
Right. I think that's valuable. I really do.
I do, too. I thought it was really good. I don't know, John. I think Schumer probably walked out of it very happy that he had the president saying, yeah, I'll take it. I'll own the shutdown. I mean, you know, the president said that himself. I think those are words that could come back to haunt him.
Yeah. I wonder how tempting it is for Nancy or Chuck or anybody to say, well, there's no smocking gun here, eh, Mr. President?
She said outside the White House, she goes, I had to be careful what I wanted to say. I didn't want to say in front of everyone in there that he didn't know what he was talking about. Well, they almost did.
I thought it was respectful. You would agree with me on that. I mean, they have a difference of opinion. I mean, I don't even know what you need to know. The president wants to build a wall. It's going to cost about $5 billion, or at least it's going to cost, he wants $5 billion in the next budget. That's his position. He's not going to back down if he doesn't think he gets the security he wants. And they're telling him, go ahead, have it your way. Back to the smocking gun for a second. Do we have any resolution on that, Steve? Do we know why twice in a tweet he spelled smocking?
Smocking? No. I don't understand it, because it's not like what a spell check wouldn't go to the word smocking, right?
Well, and the thing that's funny is it happened twice. So if you did it once, you send it out, I get that. But if you type it twice, then you must, now you're kind of owning it. So I didn't know if that was him winking, like, okay, I did Kafifi again, here's Kafifi 2, and he's just playing with us.
Yeah, but sometimes your phone gets used to it if you keep spelling it wrong. Like, I can only type duck in my phone. Every time I get mad, duck comes up.
Well, if I spell E-L-I-F, I'm frequently texting to my producer, and at first my spell check would think, oh, you're misspelling a word. There's no word E-L-I-F, but it's Elif. Now it knows. It's learned Elif. But it didn't learn smocking gun.
My phone doesn't know Elif for obvious reasons, well, but I get Leaf most of the time.
John, the smocking was twice in a single tweet, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't learn within one tweet. I don't know.
Maybe I think that's asking a lot. And I, to be honest with you, the first time that happened, I mean, when it happened, I thought, oh, there's an expression or a phrase. That's a thing, a smocking gun. And I don't know what it is. I felt I was out of the loop. I don't think that's the case after all. It's 122, your texts and calls, 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Hey, John, you're talking politics. Aren't you in Mexico? John, if you are for the thousands coming here, you pay for their housing, food, medical, dental, etc. Some of the text to 312-981-7200.
And actually, this definitely concerns Mexico.
Yeah, I know that. It's funny because here we are, a bunch of, you know, happy Americans, and this conversation about those migrants coming through Mexico is nowhere near the pool. You know, the people are not talking about this. People are totally, totally chilling. John, I felt that Nancy Pelosi interrupting the president was inappropriate. I mean, when Obama became president and people did not like it, the response was, well, too bad he's your president, deal with it. But with Trump, it's a different story. The News Click yesterday asked you, should Harold Baines be in the Hall of Fame? And 79% of you said yes. Yay. Yeah. That's fun. We had a nice time talking about all of that last night with the White Sox here at our Sox on the Beach broadcast. So the new question is, did Time get it right? Journalists, are there persons of the year? You can vote yes or you can vote no. And by the way, did you guys see the story? Maybe we'll get to this later on. I see we've got to take a break here. Steve's going to do the news. But did you hear of the name that the woman gave her? I think it's a son. And everybody started giving her grief about it, and she got her feelings hurt. She got ticked is what she did, and so she's canceled the baby shower. Her post on Facebook, which, you know, really, people, do I have to explain to you how digital stuff works? But her post on Facebook went this way. Dear members of the Squire Sebastian Senator Baby Shower, I have a really important announcement to make. It brings me pain to tell you this, but I am canceling the event. Y'all have been talking bleep about my unborn baby, an unborn child. How can you judge an unborn child? The mother shares that she's not crazy, mentally unstable, or drunk when she chose the unique three-name moniker for her son or daughter, I'm not sure, which she emphatically points out is his, is only his first name. His first name is Squire Sebastian Senator.
And they're not judging the unborn child. They're judging the mother.
The very much born mother. Okay, now tell me if this changes your view. You go, that's just nuts, lady. You're setting the kid up for a life of agony. The woman defends her choice, claiming her family is descended from a long line of squires and senators. Squire Sebastian Senator is the child's first name.
Mm-mm.
That's Elif. That doesn't help, huh? It says here, she wrote this as well. If you look back in our family tree, the survival of this clan is literally rooted in squiredom. We are all related to senators. The name conveys power. It conveys wealth. It conveys success. My baby's name will be a revolution. Oh, this kid's going to have a hard time. That is, it's not just the name, it's that mom. It's 129. Steve's got the news coming up on WGN. You know, it would really be a fun idea, Steve. Since we're at the Sox on the Beach in the Riviera Maya, we are at this beautiful resort with a bunch of White Sox fans and WGN radio listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We're here this week. This is day two of our broadcast, Sox on the Beach. As much as you like it when I guess the temperature, how about I give you some details and then you guess the temperature here at the resort? You ready?
Yeah.
So the humidity is 53%. The UV index is 53. By the pool, it's 72, but here by the hut, it is...
Give me that again, I'm sorry. Tell me again. Are we talking winds or... Just so, a little help.
He's not as good as you at this.
He's not even triangulating. He's not even doing it
well,
right.
You need to give him three numbers for the triangulation.
I don't have other temperatures in the area. I've just kind of... It just dawned on me while Steve was doing those.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Steve would love to play the temperature game.
I'm going
to
go with 75.
The correct temperature here at the hut, did you guys tell him, is 75 degrees.
Anyone, I said nothing.
Anyone can do it, really.
How does that make you feel, John?
That's a good question.
He's the one in 75 degree weather.
Next time,
it makes us all feel smarter. I would like to think that it would require more skills. And you know what, Steve? Blind squirrel finds a nut? I mean, right. Would you be able to repeat that? That's the real question.
Sure. It's 75 degrees.
I mean it.
And it's not every blind squirrel.
All right. We'll do this again every day, and we'll just see how well Steve does. I will give you surrounding temperatures here in the Gulf, and then you'll tell us what the temperature is at the HUD, okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun, John. I can't wait to do that.
Tomorrow I'll pretend to think about it before I give you the right answer.
By the way, in the next hour, Tim Anderson and former White Sox player Daryl Boston are going to come by. Tim was fun last night. Daryl was really fun. We had a meet and greet with the players here in Mexico. Some of them are traveling with family, and it's just really been a very nice time. So Tim and Daryl will say hello. Daryl's nice, and this is interesting to me anyway. I mean, I'm always fascinated by the lives of these guys, both the young players and the guys who aren't playing anymore but are assistant coaches or, you know, whatever Ron Kittle is. But Daryl has a son who is a sophomore in high school in Atlanta. He lives in Atlanta. And his son has made the varsity team, but he hasn't been getting many minutes. Well, as the season's progressing and his game is improving, he's getting more and more minutes. He's got a game, I think, Thursday night. And Daryl said, for all of the years that I was on the road, for all of the things that I wasn't there for my family, now that... you know, I have more time. And sure, I'm at this fun thing at the beach. In fact, his son wanted to come with him. He said, but now the son's back in school, and he's not at the beach, and I feel like I need to be there. I want to be there to watch my son play. So he's going to watch his son play basketball Thursday night and skedaddle out of here a little early. And I'm happy for him. I don't blame him one bit for that. You know, you think about it, you sort of take it for granted, these guys, especially the older guys who do have families, how much time of the year a Major League Baseball player is away from his kids. I remember Cal Ripken talked about that one time. Speaking of the devil, he's just walking by right now, looking handsome. Cal Ripken talked about that one time, too, and he said, you know, we travel first class, we make a lot of money, we're on baseball cards, we have a nice life. I know that and I get that, but this is true also. It's a hard life, especially if you're in it for a long time and you have a family. And you can criticize or say whatever you want about that, but that is also an alternative set of facts and very true. I want to go back to that name story we were doing a minute ago. So the name of the woman's kid, she has a son. She's named her boy Squire Sebastian Senator. And then she posted on social media that the baby shower has been canceled because people are making fun of her name, and she's really upset about that. I do think the name you give a kid matters. And I do think names do convey things, right? So a name like Senator, if you named your kid Senator, they might get some grief about that. But I would be okay with that. I think Sebastian has a certain magnificence to it. I'm not sure about Squire, but all three of them in a row sure sound like a bad idea.
Yeah, but I just want to comment on her having posted that on Facebook and canceling the party.
Yeah.
It just shows the lack of confidence she has. I don't think that was necessary.
Yeah, that's right. If you can't take a little criticizing now, wait until this kid goes to fifth grade or is a sophomore.
Right. Is he going to cancel his birthday because someone made fun, you know?
Well, what about the... I thought it was Southwest Airlines, but it wasn't. I just saw the story here. It was a different airline.
Yes, Southwest.
Was it Southwest? Okay, yeah, here it is. So on the boarding pass for a little girl, the agents noticed that the name was ABCDE. I thought there was an F at the end, but maybe it was just that. But the little girl's name, her last
her
name is
Redford. Her seat was seat F.
Oh, is that it?
No,
brilliant.
Well, guarantee her name. Her first name is ABCDE.
Absidy.
That's how they pronounced it. Absidy.
Yeah.
So that's a bad idea, and there goes that kid into life. And you know, maybe that we'll all have greater travails than having to live through a funny first name.
So I looked this up. In 2015, 350 kids were named ABCDE.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
In 2015.
So it's a little bit behind. Yeah.
Still, ABCDE has been named. That sounds to me like something where we don't have a name for the kid yet, so you just put, you know,
a lot boy, of parents, female. A lot of parents noted they'll always know how to spell it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's aiming low, isn't it? I mean, what if your name was Violetta or LF? Maybe you would learn to spell that down the road, too, right?
Yeah, right. It's not LF, you know?
It's E-L-I-F. It's file spelled backwards. So, but here's the mistake they made. The gate agent starts laughing and points at the name, and the mother says, hey, I can hear you. If I can hear you, my kid can hear you. So we'd appreciate if you'd stop laughing at my kid's name. And again, I think they need to get used to this. They need to have a plan because that's going to happen a lot. But here's where the airline screwed up. They took a screen grab of a picture of it and then posted it on their social media. Not the airline, but the airline attendant did. And you cannot do that. And I'm surprised because Southwest usually has their act together on things. You know, they're, I think, very customer friendly and smart that way. So I was shocked to see that.
Hey, there are stupid people everywhere. I hate to use that word, but...
People?
Stupid.
Oh, stupid, okay. So now, speaking of, what do you call this? I want to play for you the Steph Curry audio. And this is a story that was going several weeks ago. This story was going several weeks ago. But it was Steph Curry is on a podcast, and they are talking about all kinds of things, the NBA and stuff like that. It's a good podcast. It's called Winging It. And Steph and a couple of other players are sitting there, and they're talking for about an hour. Steph is the most exciting player in the NBA. He's one of the most exciting athletes to live in your lifetime. And he's a really good guy, right? He's got a line of shoes. Remember the story last week? And his shoes in children's sizes are only listed in boys' sizes. A little girl wrote him a letter and said, you should have it in girls' sizes, too. And her handwritten note was sent to Steph, who in his own hand wrote her back and said, you're right, we didn't think about that. The children's shoes should also be in girls' sizes, and we will change that. Here's your own pair of shoes, and we're going to send you out to a game. Steph just gets it right. He gets it a lot, so that's great. Now he's sitting on this podcast, and this podcast predates the story I just told you, but it's in the news because of what happened next. In the podcast, Steph says that he does not believe the man walked on the moon. Can you play that clip of that? Here's a little of that.
No, somebody said, you know, those memes with somebody smoking. Somebody said, wait, how do you know what sound a dinosaur has made in these movies? I said, damn. How do they know what sound dinosaurs right. made?
Somebody could actually, like, transcribe what the sound like, and they just on a cable walk.
It.
Yeah, somewhere, like.
You can't tell. Because
we don't know.
A bone don't tell you what the sound is, right?
Right.
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
They're going to come get us. I don't think so.
I'm conspiracy.
Sorry, I don't start the conspiracies. They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Stanley, you got to do
it, right? So from that podcast, Steph goes, you know, I don't think we've been to the moon. Do you? And the other guys all go, yeah, I don't think we've been to the moon either. I love the line about, can you tell the sound a dinosaur makes? Because a bone don't make no sound. Interesting point. But I trust the scientists. I think they figured out some of that stuff. But did you guys not get the feeling that he was being serious? I mean, I know they were just kind of kidding around, but I think Sherry Shepherd really meant it when she told Whoopi Goldberg on The View years ago that the world is flat and dinosaurs lived with human beings and we're all only on Earth for a couple thousand years. I think Sherry Shepherd really meant that. And I think Steph Curry was telling his truth. He doesn't believe that 50 years ago we walked on the moon. And that's just amazing to me. So now NASA has invited him to Houston. He said, the next time Golden State is playing the Rockets, why don't you come by and we'll show you what we did. And it's hard to believe this, 50 years ago. 50 years ago. And we'll tell you about our plans to, you know, go back and stay longer. You know, not just for a couple of days or however long they were on the moon. It was just a matter of days usually, right? So I think this will be an opportunity now for Steph to sort of do for science what he did for that little girl in shoes. He should go to NASA. He should make a big media thing about it. Here's Steph Curry sheepishly talking to the scientists. They're showing him video. He's going to say, I think Stanley Kubrick did that. It's not real. They said, we've got 50 pounds of rocks. We'll show him the rocks.
Well, the robots brought that back.
That's not going to be compelling. What's that,
Violetta? The robots brought that back.
I mean, I could get 50 pounds of rock right now. That doesn't mean it was from the moon. I can just see them being naysayers about it, you know?
I think that you could find a lot of people that believe in, that you wouldn't expect, that believe in conspiracy theories about just stuff. About anything.
9/11, stuff like that. I don't believe any of those, but...
I love conspiracy theories.
But you, or Violetta, help me.
I'm not going to tell you specifics.
Do you have one? Because
no, I'm not.
We
that
did
I want
go to
share.
The moon, right? We did go to the moon.
The flag was a little straight moon, right? For me sometimes.
I think we did. I think we did.
I think we did.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's the way.
We went to the moon.
Thank you.
In 1969.
Elif, I was reading a story, and they were quoting another source, right? It was like on Fox News, and they were quoting the New York Times. The New York Times was quoting Fox News. But anyway, whoever was writing the story at the time wasn't confident enough to say we went to the moon, so they attributed that to another newspaper or organization. You all have the right to right now, even though you aren't scientists and you weren't on the moon, everybody can, without attribution, say we went to the moon. You do not need to attribute that to somebody else. It's 1:50. We'll pause for a minute. All inhale. The number's 312-981-7200. You can text or call WGN.
The boys love the Bears.
Something magical going on here. And our defense.
Our defense is playing at such a magnificent rate.
Killed them. Our offensive line ate them up.
Invisible.
There's something going on here that's absolutely unbelievable.
Asterisk.
We won't throw the ball down the field because we're too damn scared because our quarterback is so bad.
This kid does not have accuracy, and I don't know how you get it. Maybe pray a little bit more or something.
The Hemp and OB Show with Kaz is the best Bears conversation.
This is a Ferrari that won't break the speed limit. We paid a ransom for him. We don't got nothing to show for.
Postgame Sunday after Bears-Packers at 3 o'clock. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Have you recently been diagnosed with prostate cancer? The new FDA-cleared Sevastring brachytherapy is being used and may have fewer side effects than other prostate cancer treatments, which can otherwise be significant. Physicians at the Chicago Prostate Cancer Center are evaluating Sevastring, a new radiation therapy that is placed in the prostate in a one-time, less invasive procedure with the potential to minimize trauma to the prostate and surrounding tissue. Participants are needed for this post-marketing study covered by Medicare. If you or someone you care about has recently been diagnosed with prostate cancer, please call to learn about this study of Sevastring, an FDA-cleared treatment that may have fewer side effects than other prostate cancer treatments. Please call now to speak with a study coordinator at Chicago Prostate Cancer Center, 630-654-2515. Again, that's 630-654-2515. Or visit chicagoprostatecancer.com.
All right, read this. I happily will. Where were you when man walked on the moon? Steph wasn't around. I was. I was 10 years old when man walked on the moon. My dad took me outside. He pointed up to the sky. He said, "You see that? We're there." Oh, that was a wonderful thing. Now, I wasn't able to see the man on the moon, but I believed him, and we saw him on TV. We have attorney Luke Cairo back in our radio studio, sponsored by GWC Law, the largest personal injury law firm in Illinois. Is he back in the studio over there right now? Hey, Lou, this is John. How are you?
I'm good. I'm jealous. I'm in here. I'm here in the cold. I hear you're in warm weather.
That's right. What is the temperature there right now, Lou?
A lot less than it is where you are. It's in the low 30s.
We are in Riviera Maya. We are in Mexico. It's day two of Socks on the Beach. So let's just talk briefly about this. I appreciate you coming into our downtown Chicago studios. First of all, where were you when man walked on the moon?
Well, if you're 60 years old now?
I'm 59.
59? Well, I'm 60, so I was about the same place you were, probably sitting in class in a classroom somewhere in second or third grade.
Yeah, right. And you must remember that, though, right?
Sure.
You do believe man walked on the moon, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. All right.
Just like I believe cars drive themselves.
Okay, so that's why you came by, and that's what I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
So where are we on driverless cars in Illinois or Chicago, per se?
Well, in Illinois, we don't have driverless cars on the street presently that I'm aware of, but I know that in October, Governor Rauner, soon to be ex-Governor Rauner, passed some legislation that said this winter we were going to start with some test piloting of autonomous self-driving cars, which, you know, I think it's kind of ironic that you want to start in the middle of the winter time in January with I mean, our cars with drivers have a hard enough time in Chicago winters, but we're going to have some driverless cars brought out. But as you may have heard in the news, there have been a couple instances where people were actually killed in California and in Arizona and in other countries by driverless vehicles. So I think right now the NTSB has got a lot of concerns about breaking this open until they've really, really gotten all the bugs, you know, out of the computers and the software programs and how these vehicles drive without any human being literally operating the vehicle.
You know, I'm not an advocate for these, Lou, but I've also kind of resigned myself to sort of like drone delivery. I think it's going to be in my future. But yeah, I'm absolutely curious about what would happen if a car lost control, say, on the ice, driver or otherwise, and then does it correct it? Does it know it? What happens next? And I wonder what will happen with lawsuits or personal injuries when people get hit by these cars. Yeah.
Well, proponents of the autonomous technology will tell you, I mean, it's documented, that an autonomous car has a much faster reaction time than a human being possibly. I mean, in the human body, we have about a average of 1 to 1.5 seconds of perception reaction. Seth Curry, who you were talking about earlier, as a typical athlete, probably has a half of a second, meaning from the time that you see something that you perceive as a danger,
right,
and then you tell your brain, you know, your brain perceives the danger rather, and the brain tells the body, we're going to lift our foot up, we're going to apply the brake, we're going to take our left hand, we're going to go to the right to steer out of the way of this child crossing the road at the last second. By the time all that happens, if you're Seth Curry or Michael Jordan, maybe it's half a second. If you're your normal person, you're a second and a half. At 30 miles an hour, you're moving 44 feet a second. Second and a half, you go 130 feet. Guy's dead, right? Well, these autonomous cars, it's literally instantaneous. They don't drink, they don't do drugs, they don't get distracted, they don't stare at girls walking across the street, they don't fall asleep at the wheel.
So that's
there
a good
are some
thing.
There are some advantages, but have you ever had your laptop not work? You ever have your microwave stop working?
Oh, you should see our broadcast right now.
Yeah, I mean, your TV doesn't work. And so what do? You go, you kick it, and that fixes the problem. There's also, you know, software, technological, and mechanical issues that can occur in any vehicle or in any computer. And now you got some person standing behind the wheel reading the Wall Street Journal or Time magazine. They're not looking for the little girl crossing the street. They're just reading their newspaper or their magazine, and suddenly something happens.
I got a few seconds left, Lou, but I mean, so is your message to people that when this technology comes, I presume you're also interested in people who are struck not by driverless cars, but by cars with drivers. But you're anticipating that this is going to be a whole nother wrinkle in the business for you. Is that right?
It will be, because accidents will happen no matter what. And now, instead of the guy behind the wheel, whether he's reading the newspaper or has got his hands on the wheel, has a responsibility to control his vehicle. But drivers who are responsible, if they're just saying, I was relying upon the technology, you know, they're going to be saying, you got to sue the software company who...
I was just going to say, if I was in a driverless car, if I was the quote-unquote driver in a driverless car and there was an accident, I would say, don't sue me. I turned control over to Ford or the software or whatever.
Exactly. So, and imagine how expensive that gets. Now you got to get all these expert witnesses to come in, and forensic engineers and mechanical engineers and scientific engineers. I mean, now what would cost $5,000 to bring a case to trial is going to cost you $50,000 because of all the experts.
How do people reach you folks at GWC?
Well, it's pretty easy. If you just go to the 9 on your dial, just keep hitting 9s until we answer the phone. It's just 999-9999. It's really easy.
What's your website?
Justice Starts Today.
Lou Cairo. Lou, next time travel with us, or we'll travel with you.
Well, invite me, for God's sake.
Next time you'll be here with us. Thank you, my friend.
Sounds good.
We are at the Iberostar Parisio Lindo in Riviera Maya, Mexico. It's day two of our Socks on the Beach broadcast. Hey, by the way, there's Ron Kittle, the legendary Ron Kittle. The ladies laughing in the background. If you don't know where Ron Kittle is at some point, look for a bunch of women laughing. Ron will be there. That's where. But he just came up and said that Harold. So last night we all made a video going, Harold. Harold. It was Ron Kittle's idea. He said, let's give this guy some love and congratulations for being put finally into the Hall of Fame. And he just sent a note saying thank you. He saw it. He loved it. He's so appreciated. So, Mr. Kittle, thank you for that.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams. That's what we do. We're mixing in some big thoughts with some fun thoughts, too, because we're on a working vacation. We're in Mexico. We got a nice crowd here. I'd like to think it was for me. I don't think it is. Stand by. Everybody.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Yeah, you don't know those words, do you? It's just,
Feliz Navidad.
Oh, we'll come around to I Want to Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Bye.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Nicely done. Well done, guys. Woo, 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 woo. That's what Socks on the Beach sounds like. We're at the Iberostar Paraiso Lindo in Riviera Maya. This is a really fun place. It's got like seven swimming pools. It goes all the way out to the Gulf of Mexico. And the first pool starts in Houston. This place is gigantic. And it just goes. And then all around all of these undulating waterfall-y pools and people floating along are little huts and living areas, three-story pastel-colored units that are just lovely. And folks are eating and drinking and having a really swell time. Lots of WGN listeners and White Sox fans have joined us here. About 100 of you are here and some other passers-by as well. Thanks to Apple Vacations and the White Sox for putting all of this together and for inviting a couple of folks who are sitting next to me right now. How about a round of applause for Daryl Ball? Austin, and sitting right next to him is Tim Anderson. How's it going, Tim? You having a good time?
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
Tim said, what are we going to talk about here? And I said, I don't know, we'll just talk about stuff. He goes, okay, we're going to freestyle it. Which is the way the young people talk now.
He's a part-time rapper.
Are you? Tim, what other skills do you have that we don't know about?
Nah, no rapper. I'm a great dad.
Yeah, great dad. Well, great dad, that's what you said? Well, if you were going to be anything, good rapper, great dad, I would pick great dad, right?
Right.
I was talking about your fathering because your son, the sophomore in high school who's playing in the basketball game, you were going to go out there. And I said to the audience before you came back, Daryl, that I don't think we always appreciate what a strain it is on the players to be on the road as long as Major League Baseball players are on the road. And if you've got family, if your kid's playing a ball game, you want to be there, you can't be there because you're in Boston or you're in Cleveland or whatever. I don't know. Do you have anything to say about that? When you look back on your career, was it all just five-star resort hotels and nice jets, or were there times where you thought, this is grueling, man?
Well, it was five-star hotels and all that, but the downside was that...
Be closer to the microphone.
The downside was that we missed a lot of time at home. A lot of family time. My family was not there with me on the road. So, you know, on the road from February to October, that's a long year. And, you know, and periodically they would come up for a week here and a week there. But basically in a small one-bedroom apartment in Chicago, they were not... They wasn't feeling that.
Yeah,
they'd rather be in the big house in Atlanta.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they would come home for a week, and you know, and couldn't wait to get back. But as a father, I missed a lot of my son growing up.
Yeah.
So I try to cram, I don't know, 8 months of being away in the 4 months that I'm home.
And what about you? I mean, you're young enough. Maybe it's just all gravy right now.
Yeah, it's different for me. You know, the White Sox show a lot of interest and extended me, and that allowed me to move my family out to Chicago with me.
So they stay in the city with you during the season?
Yeah, well, we're actually out in the suburbs. And they come on the road, you know.
They go on the road with you, too?
Quite a lot, yeah. So, you know, family's important to me. I try to spend as much time as I can with my daughter.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions you guys were asked at the event last night, we did a Q&A with our listeners, and they said, like, you know, what was your most memorable moment? Who's the pitcher that you fear the most? You two guys had very interesting answers to most memorable moment. Maybe we should share this with our listeners on the air. Your most memorable moment was one of your great days that you replay.
Yeah, mine was my major league debut in 1984. Got three hits. My first at bat was a triple off Charlie Huff. I remember when I got the call that you're going to the big leagues. And I arrived to Chicago about 4:30 in the afternoon for a 6 o'clock game. And you know, as soon as I got to the ballpark, I was leading off. I was like, dang, not only you playing, but you leading off too. I'm like, damn, man, ain't got time to sweat or nothing. And I ended up having a good day. And like I said, from there, it was downhill.
Man, when you saw that ball come off the bat, you're that's not true. But when you saw the ball come off the bat that first time, your first at bat, you're probably thinking, just don't strike out. And then it jumps. And it's in, what was it, a gapper? Was it down the line then?
It was off the right field fence. And you know, as nervous as I was, I was flying around.
Yeah, bases. No kidding.
You think Tim Curran? I was flying around on base.
All right, Tim, your most memorable moment in a White Sox uniform. Is he on? Go ahead, try it. Yeah, okay, there we go.
Like I said, my debut and my first home run. My first home run's off Clay Buchholz, and like I said, it went out of the park. And my debut was I hit a double down the line off Ian Kennedy. A very special moment for me.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Double down line. That was your first game?
Yeah, first game.
I thought you were telling me about some strikeouts that you had.
I had plenty of those. Plenty of those, man.
Oh, that was Yomar said? Yeah, so Yomar's answer to that question was, he said he remembers the first day he put on a uniform. That's his favorite day as a Major League Baseball player. He went 0 for 5, struck out a bunch of times. And he doesn't relish that, but putting on that uniform sure did feel good the first time. Yeah. So, superstitions? This is one of the questions that our engineer Bill wanted to get an answer to. We didn't get to it yesterday. Do you guys have any? Do the older players, does the last generation of players have more superstitions than the guys now? That would be my guess, but I don't know. What about that, Daryl?
We had some superstitions. I mean, you know, I played in the era with Wade Boggs, who had to eat chicken every day. So, of course, he was hitting 350. I started trying to eat chicken. It didn't work for me.
No kidding. So chicken was him, but none for you. You didn't put your socks on a certain way, none of those routines, nothing like that.
I mean, if something worked one day, I would try it again the next day until it didn't work.
But I didn't have a main superstition. I'm the same way, and I have to wear my tights a certain way, so I have to go leggings, cup, and then tights. And then I have to have a tank top on so my arms can be free.
The phenomenon, Chuck Knobloch started this. You remember Chuck Knobloch, where he would step out after every at-bat, after every pitch, and re-tighten his batting gloves, which adds about an hour and a half to a game. And baseball's trying to shorten that, but a lot of guys do that now. They step out of the box. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, for me, I'm always adjusting my cup. So it kind of seems like I'm kind of playing myself out, but I'm just adjusting my cup.
I don't remember that about you, but now I'm not going to not be able to remember that about you.
Yeah,
so
I
whenever
give you
I watch you in a game now, I'm going
to
go, if he goes below the picnic line, oh my God, that's he's telling
well,
the truth.
I always get asked that question, so I just decide to just let it out and tell everybody.
Right. So it's possible that's not true, but it's a good answer, in other words. Yeah. Okay, good. I like that. Go with that. If any of you have questions for these guys, please ask them, because we're done talking about his cup.
I'm glad you used this opportunity to clear the air on that, though.
Yeah, I want to clear the air. Let the fans know what's really going on.
I see the White Sox picked up a new pitcher from the Pirates. I'm not real good at this, guys. I don't know his name. You do, Daryl. Ivan Nova. You see that?
Ivan Nova, a former Yankee. I think he was a Pirate. He's been Seattle. I think he's been around, a proven veteran. He's going to add some depth to our rotation, so we're looking forward to having him in the mix.
I got a couple questions about the mix in a minute, and you may too. 312-981-7200. You can call or text. And we got a nice crowd here. We are visiting with a couple of the players. It's day two of our Sox on the Beach from Riviera Maya on WGN. Daryl Boston is here. Tim Anderson, too, from the White Sox. Day two of Sox on the Beach. So who has a question for the guys? Raise your hand. Okay, Sarah's got the wireless mic, and I'll let her walk over there. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Jose.
Where are you from,
Chicago.
Jose?
Chicago.
You got a Chicago shirt on. You look good, sir. What's your question?
To Mr. Tim Anderson, my question is, what do you find to be more challenging, seeing that you're a shortstop, so you got to cover a lot of ground, and at times you're the leadoff man? So what do you find challenging, offense or defense?
Defense was challenging for me. I work day in and day out to get to where I am today. And you know, now it's time to, you know, up the level on my offensive side and just keep working and get a lot better.
But the one that's more challenging, everybody says it's hitting the fastball, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love the fastball, though. I'm a fastball hitter.
The curveball, right? It's maybe a curveball is harder to hit or break. But yeah. One of you guys said last night, everything moves, yeah. Right? There's no flat right down the middle. You don't see that very often.
Not often. When you do, you really love it.
You know, those of us who played Pony League baseball, and feel free to ask me any questions if you want. when a ball, like your best guy was at shortstop. Now you're a major league shortstop. So you're one of the, you know, best people at that in the world. And those of us who ever wanted to play shortstop knew we were terrified of the ball coming at us.
Right.
And this is Little League. This is Pony League. When you see how fast guys hit the ball in the major leagues, and even if you're playing back, shortstop isn't third base, but I wonder if you guys just think, oh, crap, here it comes. You know, I've got to advance on this and keep my face down. I mean, do you think that, or is it all instinct?
Now it's instincts.
You don't flinch. Like you remember like your kid and you turn your head a little bit?
Yeah, like when I first came up, man, I had a lot of errors. And that was one of those things where, you know, the ball came at me hard. And, you know, man, I'm not used to this. Balls hit this hard up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I was able to slow the game down. And, you know, things been getting a lot better. And I've been working and working and getting better, man.
I've heard that. Well, Darryl, what does slow the game down mean? We've heard that expression before. What does that mean?
It basically means, I mean, your eyes get bigger and you just see everything clearer. I don't know how to explain.
I think I'd say like as far as just, you know, you learn a lot more and you see a lot more. You get more reps.
I've been to this spot before.
Yeah, I think that kind of helps you, you know, slow the game down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so that's a question for the guys. Raise your hands. There's a right there with the hat. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I was wondering, both Tim and Darryl, how have the bats changed from, say, Darryl, your time to Tim, yours now? I noticed that for a while there we had experienced a lot of broken bats pretty often. Has construction changed much in the years?
I can't speak for Darryl because that was in 19 what?
1980s, man.
1970-something, but... But, yeah, the bats are getting a lot better. They're more balanced. And I can say there was a lot more juice back in the day from what I heard. But now the bats are a lot better and more balanced.
Yeah, the bats are much better today. I remember back in the day we used to, you know, the bats would break more in the handles. Now they actually break all the way in half. You know, we would have to repair our bats. We would put nails. You see bats often taped up. To be reused, but, I mean, they recycle bats now like no other.
Do you ever snap a bat over your knee in frustration? I see guys do that sometimes, and I think that's impressive and really dumb because...
Yeah, that hurt, man. I tried it. It hurt. That's Bo Jackson.
And if you don't get it done, then you look foolish too, right?
Yeah, you might have to call it the knee pain thing you was talking about.
Can we get that 800 number for that?
I'm Tim Anderson.
I need that.
Whenever I snap a bat over my knee, I go to the Joint Relief Institute. You could be a sponsor for them, man.
Nah, Debo.
Yeah. Actually, I was just going to say, you guys don't want to be a sponsor for them. What about you? Like, what kind of aches and pains do you have?
I got bad knees. I need that 800 number. I need sore knees.
It's pain-free. Your insurance almost surely will cover it. I was watching you walk around. You seem to be able to. It's not like football players, 45, and they can hardly get up a golf course. You seem to be able to move around pretty well, huh? How are you doing?
I'm still active. You know, I'm an avid golfer, so I like to walk the course when I'm golfing. The little trot to first base is not a lot of work at all. So, I try to master that fungo though.
Say that again.
I try to master the fungo. A lot of fly balls to the outfielders.
Yeah, no kidding. What about you, Tim?
Hey, Yomer, there's Yomer. Yomer.
Ah, just standing in the background there. Oh boy! If he get now, he's walking over here, and now my show will be over.
Yeah.
Because
put a shirt on.
All right, now check it out. Yomer Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen, wearing just his swimsuit
and
sunglasses.
Hello.
You look good, my friend.
Always. Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Yeah. Well, you'll be. We are talking to Yomer on
Friday. He'll be don't go too far. We'll need you on Friday, my friend. So we'll let him tell his stories then, too. We're about out of time. Guys, it's really been nice to see you. It's been nice to watch you and the fans interact. And, boy, we're sure looking forward to next season. I think the White Sox are in a pretty good place. We've been saying that for a while, but it really seems true right now. We'll be, Daryl, above 500 this year, would you guess? And the future is bright for this team.
Yeah, I like the direction we're heading. Our guys, Tim Anderson and Moncada and Sanchi, they've got another year under their belt, so we're looking for big things from those guys.
Do we need you guys talked about this. Let me just close with this. What would you think about Bryce Harper coming to the White Sox?
My opinion on bringing a Bryce Harper or Manny Machado is the impact that you see the impact that Khalil Mack has with the Bears. One player can make a difference and make everybody else around you better.
Yeah. So if the Reinsdorfs are listening.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, Kenny was in the newspaper today. He's at the winter meetings, and he's like, hey, let's go get it done. He's very impatient. He's happy to sign a high-impact player right now. It's his checkbook, or it's their decision to make. But are you on the same boat with that? That wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, anybody that's going to help us win, I'm with it.
He doesn't play shortstop either, so that didn't bother you.
Nah, it don't bother me at all.
But you like your chances anyway, right?
Yeah.
I sense a certain confidence in you. I don't think it would matter who they signed or what position. You like your chances, don't you?
Yeah, I just want to win.
That's the way you got to be. That's the way you got to be. Tim, nice to see you. And Daryl, too.
Thank you.
We are broadcasting live from Iberostar Parisio Lindo in Riviera Maya for Sox on the Beach with Apple Vacations and the Chicago White Sox. It's day two of our broadcast here, and I'm sitting here looking at producer Elif, Sarah from our staff, and Bill from the engineering side are all here from WGN Radio as we bring you day two of our broadcast from Riviera Maya. It's Sox on the Beach.
Is Bill in a sombrero yet? I'm just picturing him in a sombrero.
Bill has a long day because you think about this. This remote broadcast involves, like a whole lot of wires, buttons, boxes, gadgets, gizmos, things like that. And then a printer that when we landed, we said, oh, we really don't have a printer that we are confident in, so let's go buy another printer. So then they all jumped in a cab, drove to the Walmart in a nearby town, navigated all of that, got the printer, drove it back, hooked that up. So a lot's going on here. And then he sets it all up. It's like infinity of wires and buttons and gizmos. And then after a two-hour broadcast, he tears it all down, sets it back up. You have to do it 10 times. It's a lot of work for Bill.
And all while wearing his bathing suit.
Yes, and all in a Speedo.
This printer made my trip because I didn't know that we wouldn't have access to one until 2 days before. And we got here, and I was like, we're going to Walmart.
No, Bill says, this is Bill. This is so Bill, if you knew him, Murdoch. He goes, big smile on his face. He goes, we're going to have an adventure.
I loved it.
I'm like, Bill, we don't like adventures. We like non-adventures.
I could just hear Bill laughing there in the background, and I don't like it when Bill laughs like that.
I know that laugh. That's an engineer going.
He's here. He's the only one who ever thinks it's funny.
I control your destiny.
Right.
So we had the adventure, we got the printer, and now all is good. By the way, Steve, we were talking about strange names, and somebody texted this in. They said Oprah once had a lady on her show whose name was spelled P-R-N-D-L. My trivia question for you is, why did someone name this woman, why did this woman's mother name her P-R-N-D-L? Do you think you know Steve Bertrand?
No, I don't think I know.
I'm looking at that, and now I see the answer, and I go, oh, of course that makes sense. Violetta, do you know why somebody would be named P-R-N-D-L? No vowels here. P-R-N-D-L. Doesn't jump at you, does it? Okay, we have tickets to The Eye Magician, who is coming to Chicago at the Harris Theater, I think, right? And that show is in December.
December. We have tickets for the 28th and the 29th. That's a Friday and a Saturday, people.
Okay. And it's a family pack of four. So 312-981-7200. The first person to call in
she
and tell the staff in Chicago at WGN. What's that?
She couldn't afford a vowel.
Well, she didn't. She didn't put a vowel in there. P-R-N-D. Now, don't shout it out but you are right.
I have a question for you, John. How would you pronounce that name?
Right, exactly. I'd say Perndle. Perndle.
Or Prindle.
Nice.
You're going to go into, right? You're at Playa del Carmen, aren't you?
I don't know.
The town? Isn't there?
Yeah. Is that, yeah, that's the town we went to, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you're going to go
there.
Why
do you ask?
Well, they have a very nice little downtown area with bars and restaurants. And
oh, no kidding. You've been here, too?
Yeah, few times, but you should definitely.
I didn't know that.
You need to go to Playa del Carmen for an evening.
No, you need to go to the pool and get one of those little drinks and then sit there, and then you need to walk to the beach. Have you guys gone into town, or are you mostly just kind of hanging out here, right? We're mostly kind of hanging out here, Steve. It's it's good enough.
All right, we'll have Bill set up a bus.
And go on an adventure. Patty Vasquez, you hear her weeknights on WGN Radio with Andrea Darlis. Often it's 7 o'clock. Is on a phone line right now. Now to answer the trivia question. Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm trying to figure out how I pronounce it. I kind of like your pronunciation, a brindle.
Do you know the answer to why somebody named their kid that?
I don't want to ruin it for anyone who might win. Also, I don't know.
Wait till you hear it. You'll go, oh, my gosh, sure, I see it now. You are moderating a mayoral debate? What are you doing?
I am moderating the Northwest Side Mayoral Candidates Forum. Sponsored
so how
by
many
the 38
candidates
board Democrats.
Are,
I got
how many,
10. 10 of them.
You've got 10 of them.
Yes. I got some of the, yeah. Who do you want? Who do you want to hear from? Except for Daly. Nope. He's down in Mexico somewhere near you, I think.
Okay, that's okay. I've heard from him a lot lately. He's a viable candidate, but I'm trying to think of all of the candidates that are running. And
I've got Preckwinkle, Vallis, yeah. Ford, Chico, McCarthy.
Wilson? You got Willie?
Wilson, yes.
Wow.
Mendoza?
So how does this
yes.
work? Is it, okay, what is yes. your plan for the future? And then they each take a turn, or how do you manage that?
We've actually been curating questions from different organizations like the Chicago Teachers Union, the Fraternal Order of Police, from Facebook followers of the event.
And who is sponsoring this? How do I get tickets to it? Should I be watching it, or should I go get my
yes.
car and drive there?
The 38th Ward Democrats are putting this together, and you can follow them on Facebook. You can also Google it, Northwest Side Chicago Mayoral Forum, and people can join us at the Copernicus Center. It's on Milwaukee Avenue in Jefferson Park.
So Rahm thinks we need to raise taxes, what was it, on fuel in order to help fund the roads? Did you catch that?
I did not. I've been trying to put together my own questions for the people who are going to take over. He wants
He wants 30 cents a gallon.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to type it in right now.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what the smart people up on the dais think about that when you do that.
Is that for full roads or for just the potholes?
I don't know.
just roads.
30 cents gallon... Rahm. Let me see what
okay.
comes up here. Emmanuel, suburban mayors call for 20 to 30 cents a gallon hike in the gas tax.
All right. I will try that in the mix. What do you think?
Let's ask our audience. Okay, you guys. who's in for 30 cents a gallon gas tax increase to help the roads?
Big no.
Yeah.
I will share that with our candidates this evening. Big no for Mexico.
You know, the problem is, though, I mean, anything that the state or the city needs is going to cost money, and we're already in debt. So I don't know what the right answer to those questions are, you know.
Well, that's kind of what we're going to try to find out, because we haven't had a chance to listen to a lot of these candidates yet, and we're going to ask a lot about finances. We'll ask about education, about criminal justice reform, all those issues.
Who do you anticipate
uh-huh.
will make some sort of breakout soon? Because some of the names we know, you know, we know Preckwinkle and we know Daly, and we know a little bit of what they're like. And then some of these are names that we're hearing, but we really don't know those people. Who do you think is getting ready to pop on the scene?
I think Lori Lightfoot might surprise people. We've had her on the show a couple times, and she's got a lot of great ideas. And I think that Amara Enya, I'm curious to see what Amara Enya has to say as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Our colleague Justin Kaufman is very excited about the field, about the ethnicity of it, about the femaleness of it. He said this is going to be unlike other mayoral races. You know, we are going to get a different animal, and that's a good thing, said Justin. Or at least the voices we're going to hear are going to be a good thing. The debate will be a good thing, he says. And I know you
so.
Feel the same way. Yeah,
I do. I think that, you know, what a lot of people have been concerned about is it's kind of a tale of two cities. You know, Mayor Emanuel's done a great job of bringing so much real estate development to downtown that the neighborhoods want to know, hey, how about us? What's going to bring? Who's going to bring the city together? You know, who's going to unite us?
So give me the details again. How do I find out more? Where do I go? What do I do?
You can go. You can get more info. Well, it's going to be at the Copernicus Center tonight, which is at 5216 West Lawrence Avenue in Jefferson Park, right by the Jefferson Park Blue Line. You can get information at info@38thWardDems.com, and we'll be live streaming it on Facebook as well for the 38th Ward Dems.
Excellent. All right, Patty, we'll be listening or watching online. Have a great time. You're going to be part of the Mincing Rascals. Will you be able to join us this week?
I believe I will. I've got to go because I have to go watch more of Carol Marina and Mary Ahern. They're the real they're the real pros at this, so I've got to watch their videos.
Oh, no kidding. Are they asking some of the questions, too? Are they there as well,
no,
did you say?
No, I'm just watching their videos, like games.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Kind of brushing up on it, huh?
Yeah.
She's studying. All right, well, have a good time, and if we can, let's visit with you on Thursday when we do the Mincing Rascals.
I would love to. Thank you. Have fun. Enjoy the sun.
Patty Vasquez in Chicago. We're in Mexico. She said she doesn't know, some of you do, why somebody named their child PRNDL. The answer after this on WGN. Okay, so somebody called in and won, but that person isn't on the phone right now. This lady over here, though, just give us the answer. If someone names their child Prindle, PRNDL, why did they name him that?
Park, reverse, neutral, and drive.
Yeah, and then low, which is sometimes on your gear shift. So I don't know why. Maybe they had the kid in the car, but they named their child Prindle after park, reverse, neutral, drive, low, the gears on your shift when you're in your car. So that was a good idea. Well, and I'm sorry, I forget your name. We've met before. You're part of our group. Your name is?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for answering the question. And if you want, when we go back, we've got tickets for you as well to the iMagic show. It's a family pack of four. This guy is really fun, really good. He came into our studio and showed us his stuff. Everybody else has to buy their tickets, but Lisa just won a family pack of four. Yay! John, years ago, Kathy and Judy talked to a caller. She was a fifth grade teacher. Careful. Do or don't read this. Okay. She shared that her new student's name was spelled, really? The whole word? S blank 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 head? But pronounced it exotically. Oh, like I could give it an exotic pronunciation, but that was really somebody's name. What a good idea, Mom. By the way, speaking of the Salvation Army, as we were just a moment ago, Lee Steinberg, who was maybe the first real, true, super agent, he's the guy that the movie Jerry Maguire was based on. Lee Steinberg is going to be in our studio the Monday we get back. That's on Monday the something or another, the 17th. And here's what we're doing. He's got a great story to tell. So Jerry Maguire is not his life story, but a lot of the things that happened in the movie Jerry Maguire happened to him, and the whole vibe is him. It's his story, if you will, told in a nonlinear way. He consulted on the movie and so on and so forth. In fact, he was supposed to be in the movie. You know, in the scene in the movie where Jerry is he getting engaged? He's been engaged, and they have a party, or maybe he's just leaving the firm. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. No, it must have been when he's getting engaged. But everybody's there's a video package, and it shows everybody sort of toasting Jerry's, and it's his former girlfriends. And they're saying things about him that are kind of sweet and kind of funny, but kind of pathetic and sad, too. Well, Lee Steinberg, the real Jerry Maguire, was supposed to make a cameo in that movie. He was supposed to be the guy who at the wedding stands up and gives a speech, but the speech is kind of bitter because Jerry was not a perfect person early in the movie, right? And so there's Cameron Crowe, the director, there's Tom Cruise, the star, and they're doing the scene. They go, okay, Steinberg, go, do your line, and he starts to mumble. Crowe shouts out, cut. Tom Cruise looks at him and says, what can we do to make this easier for you? He said, I don't like this part. You know how when you watch a movie and there's a bad guy, even though that's an actor playing that bad guy, how does that actor feel whenever they see the movie? Or they know people see the movie and they see that as a bad person. Maybe they don't like that. And literally, as he's reading this very bitter, biting best man speech, Steinberg realizes he doesn't want to be immortalized as the guy that ripped Tom Cruise. He said, therefore, I am probably the only person in history to ask to be excluded from a movie starring Tom Cruise. He was in the scene. They cut it out because he didn't want to be that guy.
He started out as a 26-year-old lawyer. His parents helped him get through college, and they wanted him to, you know, go practice law and have a nice and fruitful life. And he said, I want to be a sports agent, which kind of hadn't been invented yet. And he wasn't making any money. He was using his dad's credit card. He was working out of his parents' basement on a card table. And at one point, a guy he went to school with, Steve Barkowski, and is it Steve Barkowski? Barkowski, they called him Bart. He was the first round quarterback. He was the first player picked in the draft that year. And he was a friend of Lee Steinberg's. He had an agent. Things weren't going well. So finally, Barkowski says, you're a lawyer. Why don't you represent me? He said, seriously? He says, yeah. He goes, I don't know how to do that, but sure, I'll represent you. And he did. So now he's got Barkowski as his client, the number one pick in the draft. People can't believe it. I mean, who is Lee Steinberg? They'd never heard of him. Now he's representing the number one pick in the NFL draft. So that was really what got him going. And for a couple of years, he didn't have a lot of clients and he didn't have a lot of money. But because he had Barkowski, he was able to sort of sustain himself for a little while. He was drafted by the Falcons. And when they go to Atlanta, he said, I don't know if anybody's going to even know who you are. They sure don't know who I am. We'll just fly there and sign the contract. And when they landed in Atlanta, the airport is packed with people, well-wishers. And in fact, he says, I'll never forget, he says, as we're walking through the concourse, one of the TV reporters says, we interrupt the Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson to bring you the arrival of Barkowski and Steinberg. It was that big a deal. And he goes, wow, I've got something here. And he did. He grew his business. One of the people he speaks most glowingly about is Ted Albrecht, who does the games with Dave Ennett, the Northwestern football games. He said he was a client from heaven. Smart guy, good guy, talented guy, funny guy, great guy. Gave back to the community, gave teddy bears to kids in hospitals. So he loves Ted Albrecht. In fact, we might invite Ted to the broadcast on Monday when we get back into Chicago. But it's all of these stories, right, about this super agent, this Jerry Maguire guy, and you'll recognize some of the scenes. We want you to come to our WGN Radio downtown Chicago studios for that broadcast. We're only asking for a $50 donation to the Salvation Army. And Sarah, how do they get tickets to that? I've got all these pieces of paper in front of me.
WGNradio.com/events.
WGNradio.com/events. And there you can make a $50 donation to the Salvation Army. We're catering lunch, so you'll be able to come in, watch him, make a donation if you like, and help the Salvation Army as well. That will be on Monday, so go there now, WGNradio.com/events. Only 50 bucks. You can give more if you like. Okay, Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis. By the way, let's hear it for Ro and Anna. Woo!
Yay!
Thank you.
Downtown Chicago studios. Hi, campers.
Send some warmth our way. Can you please just,
you know, it's,
blow
it's
it up
not,
north?
Don't you hate it when people say this, but I'm going to say it. It's only like 75 degrees here.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for 84, but 75 will have to do.
I prefer 84 to 75, too. But I will say this. That all the, so Chicagoans are all with you, right?
Yes, all Chicagoans.
I do love this. Yay for Chicago.
Yay for Chicago.
The best part is when you're at a remote, and I am going to have Tom Skilling arrested during the 4 o'clock weather hit.
Don't you have some craptastic weather coming your way anyway? Isn't that part of the forecast?
Yeah, there's snow tomorrow, and there's some. So I'm having him taken in for questioning. I don't know how we
do that. You picked the right week, though, John, you and the listeners. Nicely done.
All right, well, I'm going to go jump in the pool. You guys have a really good show.